Hello, I'm Hugo Disler from Farming Secrets. We're having a talk with, it's Talk the Walk. This is a CD that will be available to farmers. And we've got online Dr. Mary Cole, and she's going to be talking about, well, whatever's appropriate to talk about where she can help farmers. This is related to the Botrytis and Biological Day that we had at Oxley earlier this year. So, Dr. Mary Cole, would you like to come online and start and have a bit of a conversation with us?
Thank you, Hugo. Yes, I'm here. Yes, certainly. So we're ready to go, are we?
We are, yes.
Yes. All right. Well, yes, I'm Mary Cole. I am a plant pathologist. I have been an academic, but at the moment I have an independent research laboratory where I, down in Gippsland in Victoria, where I provide a service for farmers, horticulturists, backyard gardeners, anybody who has an interest in soil and is interested in growing healthy plants in a non-chemical way. And we provide a service here. I have two staff which work who work with me part-time. We do a lot of fungal work, fungal identification, disease identification, as well as giving talks to growers, to community groups, where we can sell the story that it is possible to grow very healthy farming environments and enterprises from a biological point of view. So that pretty well tells what we do, Hugo. We have a lab that is well set up for mycological, which is fungal identification, and bacteriological, which is bacteria, obviously, diseases and profiles of soil, really from any environment within Australia, and also from New Zealand. We do some work as well.
Dr. Mary Cole, do you mind if I just call you Mary?
Yeah, of course.
What I just picked up my ears to, what I heard, was that you're an independent laboratory, and what I see too is that you've got sort of two groups of scientists. I'm not having guard scientists either. You've got the scientists that are the seconded or work with businesses that provide remedy products and sort of input products, and you've got a person like yourself who's independent. So, yeah, can you just elaborate on what I just said about your independence?
Yes. Yes. I have made a point over my 30 years of consulting to not align myself with any organization, and this gives me the ability to be able to comment quite freely without fear or favor. And on really any topic that I have the expertise in which to make a comment. And I value that independence very highly, and I feel that a lot of the work that I get is on the basis that I'm not trying to sell anything. I will talk about people's products. I will have a look at how they can help growers, but I will not ever sell or promote in the sense of picking one product out against another. And that is really important to me. So it means that a lot of the work that we do with here at AgPath is actually commercial in confidence, because a grower or a supplier will value that independence and know that they'll get an independent report. We even do some work for clients who are having problems with, for example, flooding, and they have a claim with insurance companies. So our work is extremely variable. This means that we're doing some environmental work as well. But what's really important is that I sell knowledge. I don't sell products, and that's really important to me. Does that help?
No, that's fantastic, because it does, because we want farmers to be more independent. In other words, let them choose what they need to do rather than having a consultant who's associated with a product come on the farm and basically read out how a labelled product should be used.
Yes.
And I see that that's where you can help our farmers. And what's happening in your... what's something that you're doing at the moment, Mary? What are you up to?
Well, we have...
What's likely to be happening?
Yes, the laboratory is just very busy with lots of work from environmental to soil health. But we're also running a three-day workshop down at Lismore near Camperdown, not Lismore, New South Wales. This is Lismore, Victoria.
Well, can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yes, and that starts on the 21st, which is Thursday, the day after tomorrow. And what we're doing there is I'm going down and I'm working with or presenting with Darren Morgan, who is a soil and compost expert, and also with the group from Camperdown Compost. They're going to be involved as well, telling us about how they're working their particular product around the dairy farms in the region and doing a fantastic job in utilizing what has been in the past called waste, but of course is actually very valuable material. So we're going down there and we're going to be talking to grain, I think they're mostly grain and sheep and someone from who has a worm farm leachate enterprise. And we're going to be discussing with them how to use the products that they have available, whatever they happen to be, and make an aerobic, thermal aerobic compost. It's highly microbially active. And we'll be talking also about how then to make compost teas. But probably the most important thing on the third day is we're going to be showing people how to use a microscope and to actually be able to do an evaluation of any compost or compost tea or even their soil themselves, because this is really important that they can sit in front of a microscope, one, know how to use it, but two, be able to recognize the organisms and know how to do the counts by themselves, because we want them to be as independent as possible and that they come to me, for example, my lab, for which they have to pay a service, to really get confirmation of how they're going. But the idea is to get as much information of how to make a small compost, how to make a big compost heap, how to make a compost tea in a 20-litre bucket up to a 5,000-litre digester, and then how to look at a microscope or look under a microscope and be able to have confidence in what they're looking at on the basis of whatever product they happen to be making. And these sorts of little workshops that we hold around the place are designed to give growers confidence and to let them show them that what they're trying to do is not rocket science. It's actually quite basic, and they actually have the ability to be able to take this on board and do a lot of this work themselves. Now, the other service that I do provide, people who have done these courses with me, on my website I have a closed site for which there's an annual fee. But that annual fee allows people to email in photographs to me. I interpret them, send them back to them, and if they're good photographs and we can use them on the website, then they go up on the website for everybody who has done the course. And so people are finding this really, really useful because they'll be looking down their microscope and they'll see something and they think, my gosh, you know, what is this? So the first thing for them to do is to go onto the website, log in and have a look and say, oh, well, somebody else has found that and this is what it is. Or, no, it's not there. I'll send it in to Mary, get an interpretation, we'll get it up on the website. And then this becomes a resource for people who have done these courses, and it gives them then a little bit of a backup. Oh, you know, what does a protozoa look like, or what does a bacterium look like? I simply look up the website and find it. So that people are finding it a really valuable resource. And they also can send as many emails and questions to me as they like, or they can phone me at a time that's convenient to both of them, to both of us, and I'm happy to answer questions. So I guess what I'm doing is we're running workshops, but if they get onto this particular website that I have, they can really have a revision on a daily basis if they want. To give them more confidence in what they've learned.
I'm going to ask two questions, and you can just answer in the way you want to. Can you give us a bit of a rundown on the 3 days? You've given us the sort of the third day there, rundown.
Yes.
On what the farmers are likely to be, what sort of subject you're going to cover. In brief, I don't expect you to give us a course over the phone.
Yes.
And the second part of the question, what sort of farmers, what sort of people come to your course, and what's a prerequisite to come to this 3-day thing?
Okay, to answer the first part, is we break the 3 days up. In the first day, we talk about the soil food web. What does the soil food web constitute? The bacteria, the fungi, the protozoa, and how do they relate to one another, and how they are important in soil fertility, and also how we make compost. So the first day is basically making compost and discussing the components of the soil food web. The second day, we continue that on, and we actually make compost tea. And then we have a look at compost tea under the microscope on the third day, or the compost under the microscope on the third day. But the first 2 days are really hands-on. And then on one of those days, and I'm not sure exactly which day it'll be, but on one of those days, we will probably go down to Camperdown to have a look at the Camperdown compost facility so that people can see what a professional, quite commercial facility is like. And then also at this particular one, apparently we're going to go to a school, because there's a group of one of the lower grade school classes is very interested in starting their own plots in their school. And so that's really exciting to me, because I haven't done that particular one before in as part of these 3-day courses. But it means that we're getting the children involved in making compost and growing their own gardens at school, and hopefully then at home. Now, in the second part of the question, who comes along? Really, anyone who has an interest in understanding the process of all of the organisms that we have in the soil to benefit the whatever it is that we're growing above the soil, whether they happen to be a home gardener, or they grow flowers, or they grow fruit, or they're broadacre farmers, or they run sheep and cattle and alpacas. What it is people who are interested in looking at the soil first to improve the productivity and the quality of whatever it is that they're producing in their backyard or on their farm, and to do it in a non-chemical way, and also to have a paradigm shift in thinking about how we use the land. If you use a conventional chemical process, then you say, well, okay, I grow my whatever it is, and I get a disease, and I put a chemical on to try and get rid of that disease. I put a fertilizer on to get the soil to grow whatever my crop is. What I try to do is get that paradigm shift where we say, we have people saying, I want to grow something, but I understand that the best way to grow a crop or an animal in the healthiest manner is to have a healthy soil. And so what we do is we look at improving the quality of the soil, which then improves the quality of the crop or the animal, which then minimizes the impact of disease, should there be any, because a healthy animal, a healthy plant, does not have disease to the same level as a plant or an animal that is struggling under a chemical regime. So what I try to do is say, you know, look, everybody, we're only on this planet because we have soil. It was healthy. It's becoming less healthy. Let's get it back to what it was, and we will be healthier as a population as a result of that. It's not rocket science. It's very basic.
I think the main one point is that you'd call this sort of work as biological sort of work. Would that be right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And have you got evidence that it is actually more profitable for the farmers to go down this track? Is there advantage for a farmer to attend your 3-day course like you're having now? What's in it for the farmer to attend your course?
And well, the thing is, there's a lot of evidence through all countries. I mean, the annual report, the 30-year report from Rodale, which is on the web as www.rodale.org, it gives evidence of a 30-year experiment on conventional versus organic versus biological. So there's that sort of data that's out there. Here in Australia, what we're trying to do is minimize input costs, because farmers can't control what they're doing after the farm gate, and all farmers are really being battered from all sorts of directions. So what we try to do with the farmers is to minimize their input costs and to utilize a lot of the material that they have on their properties anyway. And there's a lot of evidence by just farmers who have made that transition to a biological, organic, call it what you will, enterprise, where they may not be increasing the quantity of what they're producing, but they are improving the quality of what they're producing, and that's showing up in protein in grain, for example, or price per bottle in wine, for example. And then for the home gardener, basically just quality fruit and vegetables that they can grow themselves. So what we're trying to show the farmers is that they can minimize input costs, but still improve quality, potentially quantity, and hopefully price at the farm gate.